job. Let's give him one more hand. Amen. Amen. I was reminded of John chapter 10, verse number 14, where the Bible says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. I'm thankful that God knows us tonight, and I'm glad that I can know that I know Him. I believe in eternal security. Can you say amen? I believe once saved, always saved, and I'm glad that I know Him tonight, and I'm glad that I'm saved. Well, I'm excited that Tim is here. He is a fantastic preacher. I don't say that because he's my brother-in-law. He is anointed by God, and God has blessed him tremendously. Has a wonderful family, a wonderful church, a great ministry in Shelby, North Carolina. And I want you to make welcome to Parkway's pulpit tonight, Dr. Tim Sims.
Well, amen. I'm so glad to be here tonight, so honored and thankful for the opportunity that is availed to me to stand before you tonight. This is a great Wednesday night crowd, and I appreciate your faithfulness coming night after night, service after service, and I know that you've had some of the best preaching that you could hear anywhere by Dr. Larry Brown, and if you came to hear him tonight and he's not here and you're disappointed, let me just say I share your disappointment. I would have loved to heard Larry Brown preach tonight. It would have been my privilege and my honor, but it's also my privilege and my honor to stand here at Parkway Baptist Temple and declare unto you the truth of the Word of God. Oh, how we need today preachers to sound off like trumpets, to spare not, and to preach the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Like the Apostle Paul said, I thank my Lord Jesus Christ for putting me into the ministry. And there are a lot of things that He could have put me in, but I'm glad He put me in the family, He put me in the fold, and He put me in the fight. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I hope that you'll excuse my voice. The pollen in the air kind of does a number on me. And so if you can tolerate that tonight, and with the Lord's help, we'll try to preach the Word of God as you listen. And I want you to listen carefully. It's important to listen. You know, there was a man and a woman. They'd been married for a long time, and they were sitting together on the front porch one afternoon. And the elderly gentleman looked over to his wife, and he said, "Honey, I'm proud of you." And she said, "What?" And he said, "Honey, I'm proud of you." And she said, "What?" And he said, "I said I'm proud of you." And she said, "Well, I'm tired of you too." So I hope tonight you won't be tired of listening to this raspy voice. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I want to read 3 verses tonight and bring the thought that I believe God has laid upon my heart for the message tonight. And I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Let me say tonight before I read that I believe that our relationship with God can be no stronger than our prayer life. I believe God's people ought to be people of prayer. This church ought to be the house that prayer builds. God wants His people to pray. You know, I have an earthly father. He's here tonight. And I enjoy picking up the telephone and calling him and hearing his voice. And there's something unique about our relationship because I believe when he answers on the other line, he enjoys hearing my voice. There's a relationship. And that relationship is there because we communicate. And I'm thankful tonight that I have a heavenly Father that at any time, any place, his ear is not too heavy, that he cannot hear when I pray. Oh, what an opportunity we have. Oh, what peace we often forfeit when we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen to verse number 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we're so thankful that we know you. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you know us. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight that you'll bless in this hour and time of preaching. For God, I cannot preach without you. I cannot, Lord, do what needs to be done in this time without your demonstrating power upon me. God, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, that you would use me for your honor and your glory. And I pray that the Son of God might be magnified. And we'll ask it because of him and in his wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight, the Lord being my helper, on the subject, everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. The word everything means all things. Anything that comes your way. Any matter that you're faced with. Any situation. Any purchase. Any burden. Any blessing. Any problem. Any pressure. All things and everything by prayer. That was Paul's instruction to the church at Philippi. Everything by prayer. Oh, I believe tonight that our relationship with God hinges upon the door of prayer. And I'm glad that He's accessible and available. And we can have His attention at any moment, any time, any place, because our God is always available to us when we call upon His name in truth. And I would say to you tonight that when Moses prayed, bread fell from heaven and water came forth from a rock. When Joshua prayed, God said, Joshua, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. When Jabez prayed, I believe that God enlarged his coast, increased his territory, and added to him such as he should have. I believe that when the one man Ezra saw the need of revival as a scribe and as one who copied the Word of God, he knew the need of revival and he prayed. He stepped into the circle of revival and God brought revival. I believe with all of my heart tonight that when Elisha prayed, the Bible said it rained not. And when he prayed again, it rained. I believe that God answers prayer. When Samson prayed, he prayed and dedicated the temple of God and fire fell from heaven. I believe God's people can still pray the fire down. Amen. David prayed and God sent a breeze through the mulberry trees and said, David, go forth to battle. I'm with you. I'll not forsake you. I'll not fail you. I'll be with you, David. Go forth to conquer and to conquer. I believe that when Daniel prayed, he stopped the mouths of lions. I believe that when Paul and Silas prayed, that they had the jailhouse rock and they didn't need Elvis Presley to have it. I believe that when we pray, that we enter into the very throne room of God and we come to the very seat of mercy where God is accessible to us. And oh, I want to encourage you tonight, in everything by prayer. Now I want us to look at these three verses tonight and think about prayer and the importance of prayer in our life. And I would say to you tonight, first of all, as we look at verse 5, there is the establishment of a life guided by prayer. The establishment of a life guided by prayer. When I think of the word established, I think of balance. I think of being rooted and grounded. I think of being steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I believe that God wants His people to be sound in mind and body and spirit. Amen. And I believe that establishment comes with a life that is guided by prayer. Prayer in everything, and everything by prayer. Now listen to verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The word moderation is translated from the Greek, and it's a word that means yieldingness, surrender, gentleness, considerateness, forbearance. I like to define it as balanced consecration. H.A. Ironside would describe it as sweet reasonableness. What is God saying? God is saying through the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, I want you to be balanced. I want you to live your life in sweet reasonableness. I want you to have a foundation that's sure. I want your testimony before all men to be in moderation, that they might see that there's something about your life that's different from a troubled world, that's different from a tormented world, that's different from a world in tribulation. I believe if we'd pray about things before we act upon things, that we wouldn't have the stress we have in our life. That we wouldn't be so tormented and troubled and irritable and hateful and spiteful and envious and griping and groaning and grumbling. You say, why do you say that? Because people get themselves, as my boys would say, jacked up. We do things without bringing it to the throne of grace. We don't live lives like we ought to that are established as a life guided by prayer. There's a sister verse to verse number 5, and it's in James chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, catch this, availeth much. That means bringeth forth much fruit, or produces. It's prayer that produces. I believe that God wants to establish your life and my life with balance and serenity and peace and stability. But we must build our lives and establish our lives in a relationship with our Heavenly Father that's built in prayer. I believe God's people ought to be people that pray. You know, I want to be at peace with self. There's a lot of mornings I get up and I look in the mirror and I'm not at peace with me. There's things clouding my mind. There's fears troubling my heart. There are things that are going on in my world that just don't seem right. And then I have to get away and still away and come to a place of prayer, and I have to call upon the name of the Lord, and then I get up and I can live my day, and I can face the world around me with sweet reasonableness. And I can have balance, and I can be settled, and I can feel safe, and I can feel the arms of a loving God around me. I can feel His strength undergirding me because I began my day with prayer. Oh, my friend, dear child of God, don't you know He wants to talk to you? Don't you know He longs to hear from you? Don't you know that He cares about you and He wants you to lay your burdens at His feet? I want to be at peace with myself. Oh, when self gets in the way, that's the biggest problem I have. I can blame the deacons. I can blame the trustees. I can blame my kids for driving me crazy. I sure wouldn't dare blame my wife. I'm smarter than that. She's here tonight. But I got to get self out of the way. I got to crucify Tim every day. And how do I crucify him? But at the throne of grace.
at the altar of sacrifice, where I lay myself down every day and say, God, I'm yours, to live in sweet reasonableness, to be balanced, to have the right spirit, the right attitude, the right deportment, the right disposition. Oh God, make me what you want me to be today. Conform me into the very image of God. That's my prayer daily, because I know me and I got to keep self straight. Then not only do I want to be at peace with self, but I want to be at peace with sinners. You know, just to be honest with you, sinners tick me off. Oh, come on. You self-righteous, holy now. Come on. You don't ever get upset with sinners. I get angry with the abortionists. I get troubled by homosexuals coming out of the closet and walking and marching in the street. I get upset when I hear that Obama is thinking about taking your contributions to the church and denying you tax benefits. I get upset when the wicked rage every day. I get upset when I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off and throws me a bad signal. I get upset. And you know what I got to do to get along with sinners? I got to steal away and pray. I got to say, oh God, they do what they do because of their nature. That's exactly what they are. They don't know any better. They were born sinners. They're living as sinners. It comes natural to them. Oh, but God, you've taken away that stony heart out of me. You put a heart of flesh in me. And oh God, you have created me and you are conforming me into the image of the precious Son of God. And so I can get along better with sinners when I pray. I can get along better with myself when I pray. I can get along and have peace with the saints when I pray. You ever have a church member just rub you wrong? Oh, y'all don't have no problems here. That's only over in North Carolina. Baptists over there are mean. I guess they're sweet in Georgia. But everyone, he wants a raise. And he deserves one. But oh, there are times when we are faced with being at peace with one another. You say, how do we do it? A life established in prayer. Pray about everything. You know, we do so much better if we go to God and talk about these people that we're troubled with, are troubled by, than when we pick up our phone and call our brothers and sisters in Christ and begin to bring them down and begin to tear down somebody else to them. We do so much better if we take it to God in prayer and have a life that's established and guided by prayer. Oh, and then I love to be at peace with my Savior. You know, there's just something about praying to Him, letting Him know that I love Him and that I'm thankful for all that He's done for me, all of His provision, all of the peace, all of the pardon that He's bestowed upon me, and keeping my relationship intact with Him. Listen, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is prayer that produces peace with self, sinners, saints, and the Savior. And then let me say tonight, not only the establishment of a life guided by prayer, but secondly, the essentials of a life guarded by prayer. Do you guard your life with prayer? I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I don't want to face this world without the Lord. I don't want to live in my own power. I don't want to live a day without the power of God. And prayer is my source of power. It is one of the greatest weapons that a Christian has to live in this world, to guard themselves. They're guided by a life that's established in prayer, and then they're guarded by the essentials of a life of prayer. Listen to verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing. That word careful is a word from the Greek That means anxious, are worried, are troubled. He said, be troubled, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. That's exactly what that verse is saying. All the peace we often forfeit. Amen? When we don't take it to the Lord in prayer, what is he saying? Be careful for nothing. He's saying, trust in prayer. Trust that God listens, that God hears, that God cares, that God will answer in His way and in His time. Trust in prayer. Have you ever felt like that your words, when you pray, aren't getting above your eyebrows? Have you ever felt like that? Listen, friend, if that's the case, it's not because God has moved further away. It's not because God has went anywhere. The Word of God promises that He's there. He's a constant. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even until the end. Amen. He's there. You can trust when you pray that His ear is not too heavy, that He's not bogged down with all the concerns of the world. You know, God's not sitting up in heaven, a crotchety old man on a throne with a long beard and a cane, unable to meet your needs. Trust Him tonight. Trust Him with all things. Trust Him. He's able tonight. He's the God of the impossible. I'm reminded of the question that was posed to Abraham and Sarah when they said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I'm glad there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Trust in prayer. Be careful for nothing. Then not only trust in prayer, but totality in prayer. The essentials of a life guarded by prayer include trust and then the totality, bringing everything. But in everything, it says, by prayer. Everything. You can pray about anything. You know, He's Abba Father. That means Papa. Very near and dear. You know, now if I were to come in the building tonight and look at my dad and say, hey, Pop, somebody would get a pop. Me. But if I call him Papa, which sometimes I do, that's a term of affection, a term of endearment. It describes the relationship between he and I. And the Bible says that we have a heavenly Father that can be touched with our every infirmity. Trust in prayer. Totality in prayer. When you need to pray about sin, pray about sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, you don't understand. I've got sin in my life. Well, yes. From time to time you will have. As long as you live in these fleshly bodies are going to get in trouble. But we have an advocate that sits at the right hand of the Father and He says, bring it to me. Confess your sins. I'm faithful. I'm just to forgive your sins. Don't let sin stand in between you and your relationship with God. Get it under the blood. Nail it to the cross. Bring it to the foot of a blood-stained cross and repent of that sin and forsake it and live in victory by prayer in everything. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with or what the problem is. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let me tell you, there are times this old boy has to deal with sin and bring it to the foot of the cross and bring it to my heavenly Father that already knows what's in my life and already has the answer. And if I come to Him in the totality of things, my sin, He's able to take care of my sin problem and yours too. Amen. And then, what about Satan? You know, Satan comes And he's a liar. He's a destroyer. I mean, he's a thief and a murderer from the very beginning. And how are you and I going to deal with Satan? Let me tell you, your greatest tool against Satan is prayer. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark 9:29. Jesus was talking about the casting out of devils and dealing with the demons of hell. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Listen, do you have a child that's bound by Satan? Do you have a grandson or a granddaughter that's addicted to drugs? Do you have a granddaughter that's in trouble somewhere? Do you have a brother or sister living in sin? Do you know somebody bound by the chains of darkness? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Believe that prayer can work on God's heart to deal with Satan. Listen, Satan is our enemy. And one of the greatest tools we have against him is the weapon of prayer. To take it to the Lord in prayer. I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Tony. Tony was a drunk, a horrible drunk. He lived his whole life drinking. Lived his whole life destroying his body, his mind, and his family with drinking. I mean, his wife left him. His children had gone to the devil. He had a son and a daughter, and they both were alcoholics and drug addicts, and all they knew was a party and a good time until they woke up in their own vomit the next morning. That's all they knew. I received a phone call one afternoon about 2 o'clock. It was from a dear lady in my church by the name of Joanne Wilson, and her son was Tony. And many times we had prayed for Tony. Oh, God, whatever it takes. Oh, God, bring him out of sin. Oh, God, bring him out and save him. And God, do something, Lord. Reach out and touch him, God. And I received a phone call that afternoon from his grandmother. And she said, Dr. Dill, Pastor, I'm in Charlotte. Can you come? My grandson has been injured. And so I drove to Charlotte. I walked up, I believe it was the 4th floor of the hospital there, at Carolina's Medical Center. And laying in the bed on life support was Tony's son, Josh, who in drunkenness played Russian roulette with a pistol in his mouth. One of the finest looking young men that I had ever seen in my life. And that's the truth. Handsome, strong, 20 years old. I took a revolver and shoved a bullet up into his brain. Was dead. On life support, waiting for someone to claim his organs. I looked all over the hospital for Tony. I couldn't find him anywhere. I went down to the family waiting room. I went to the cafeteria. I went outside. I couldn't find him. So I looked for Joanne. I couldn't find her either. So I assumed that they had left the hospital already. By the time I got back to Shelby, about an hour's drive, it was time to pick my kids up from school. I picked my kids up from school. I went and got my wife, and we drove down Route 18 to Tony's house. I walked up on the porch of Tony's house, and Tony come out slobbering, red-eyed, and drunk. And he fell on me. And he said, please, don't tell my mama I'm this way. Drunk! I mean, his life ruined. His son just had killed himself. I said, Tony, God loves you. God can deliver you, Tony. What's it going to take, Tony, for you to wake up? Tony, your mama's praying for you. Our church is praying. Oh, preacher, don't tell mama. Don't tell mama. We continued to pray for Tony. We prayed about his sin condition. He started coming to church on Sunday morning. One Sunday morning, somebody went to him, put their arm around him, and said, Tony, we love you. Won't you come to the altar and pray? And Tony walked on down to the altar, and I met him there, and I took him by the hand, and I began to talk to him. I said, Tony, let's kneel and pray. God can save you, Tony. I believe God can do that for you, Tony. We got down to pray, and Tony said, Preacher, I've just got so many things I've got to change. I've got so many things I've got to give up and take care of. I'm a drunk, preacher. I'm an alcoholic. I can't stop drinking. I can't change. I said, Tony, go back to your seat. Because you see, it was still an I thing for Tony. But 2 or 3 months went by, and we kept praying, and we kept calling out to God. And one Sunday morning, he came out of his pew at the invitation after I'd preached on hell-bent and hell-bound. And tears were flying from his eyes. And he knelt in the altar, and he cried out, and he said, oh God, I can't do it, but you can. And let me tell you, Tony's in church every time the doors are open, and we trust him to take up the money. Amen. God has radically changed that old boy, and prayer is a part of it. You say, well, Pastor, do you believe? Do you really believe that prayer was a part of it? I believe that prayer was the source of it. God can deal with the power of sin and the power of Satan. And then there's sickness. Oh, too often I get the phone call about somebody being sick. I hate the word cancer. There's not a week of my life that goes by that I don't hear the word cancer. And many of you in this room could say the same thing. No doubt, every section of this church has dozens of people whose lives have been affected by cancer or some sort of sickness. Well, do you know that the Bible says that prayer, the Bible says in James 5 and 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Now I know and you know, those that are grounded in the Word, that God does not always will to heal. But we ought to pray. Because the Bible has promised that the prayer of faith can heal the sick. I pastored for 13 years in the Chicago area before I moved to North Carolina 5 years ago this June. And in my church back home was one of the most encouraging men that you could ever meet. His name was Wes Anderson. He was married to Judy. And oh, the last day before I moved to North Carolina, Wes came to my house and he put his arm around me and he took pictures of the whole family and we stood there on my front lawn and we wept and we cried together and we were going to miss each other. I mean, Wes was an encourager. You know, he's one of those guys that every Sunday would tell you you hit a home run whether you did or not. You know, he's like that guy that come by and he said, preacher, you're something else. Preacher, you're something else. Every Sunday morning, he'd shake my hand and say, preacher, you're something else. I began to think about it. What's he talking about, preacher, you're something else? Finally, one day, I got brave enough to ask him, what do you mean, something else? He said, well, preacher, to be honest with you, you got to be something else because you ain't no preacher. But Wes was an encourager. I'd moved to North Carolina. I'd been there for about a year. And Wes and Judy said, we're coming down for the Easter service. So they came down that weekend. And before the Sunday morning service was over, I went to hug their neck and thank them for coming to visit with me and be with me. And they said, Pastor, last night we bought a house. We're moving to Shelby. We want to be a part of your ministry. We want to be here. I said, you don't understand now. You can't do that. They said, oh, yes, we can. And we already have, and we're going to. And so they came. Wes was still an encourager. About 6 months later, a big lump come up on his neck. Cancer. They begin to do radiation treatments, you know, shooting that radiation into his neck. And then they began chemotherapy, aggressive treatment, because they know when it's in that area, it's going to spread and it can get to the brain and that can cause a whole lot of other problems. But Wes was sick. I mean, but by his fourth radiation treatment, he was almost dead. I mean, he just couldn't stand the more. And we took him over to the hospital. And And for several weeks he was in the hospital, and he was just out of his mind, delirious and sick and so weak. And he was a heavy man, and he had all kinds of problems. I mean, he had a heart problem. He had diabetes. If he could have it, he had it. And cancer on top of that. One Sunday morning, before church, and this is the truth, I went to the hospital to see Wes and Judy. Went in Wes's room. He was pitiful. I mean, he was so miserable. He was so sick. I mean, you could see death shrouding all over him. His wife's heart was breaking. My heart was breaking for her and for him. And the doctor came in about that time, and he said, "Miss Anderson, the time has come. We just got to face reality. We just got to face that your husband is overweight. He's got diabetes. He's got high blood pressure. He's got a heart problem. He's got this cancer. And we're prolonging the inevitable. And I want to send him this afternoon or in the morning over to hospice." And he has about 2 weeks. And Judy began to cry. I took Judy by the hands and I said, "Judy, there's nothing we can do but pray." But I said, "Prayer's enough. Prayer's enough." And I took her by the hand and I said, "Oh God, you promised in your word that the prayer of faith can heal the sick. And Lord, the doctors, they only practice medicine. They only practice medicine. They do their best, but Lord, their best right now is not enough. And God, they're offering no hope. But our hope is in Thee. Our hope is in You, Lord." And this is exactly what I said. I said, "God, I'm taking You at Your word. And I'm asking." Prayer is asking. John R. Rice says that. Prayer is asking. And I said, "God, I'm asking You to touch Wes. To heal him. To take the cancer away. Because God, You can." And I prayed in Jesus' name and finished my prayer and went home, and they sent Wes to the hospice center. Let me just tell you, 3 years later, Wes was in church Sunday morning, sitting on the second row from the front. And he walks back to me just about every Sunday, and he says, "Pastor, let's sing a song." And we stand at the back door and we sing, "God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me." Don't tell me God can't. God can. Prayer. A life that is guarded by the elements of prayer. Trust and totality in everything. Pray. Whether it's sin, Satan, sickness. Maybe you need to pray for the saints. The Bible says in James 5:16, "Confess your faults." Oh, this is tough, ain't it? "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another." Not talk about one another, not gossip about one another, but pray one for another. You know what that's teaching right there? If I can just take a sidebar, I'm going to hurry, I promise. I only close 2 or 3 times every service. My favorite part of the sermon. Here's my sidebar. When he says, "Confess your faults one to another," he's calling men and women to accountability. Let me tell you something. A man especially, women, you do pretty good, but men especially, but all of us, need accountability. A man without accountability is like a man holding a hand grenade with a pen pulled. He's going to self-destruct. Because God and you and I and the Bible and the Holy Spirit, we all know that if God can knock the man out, He can get the family. That's the truth now. And men, you need accountability. I need accountability. I'm accountable to my wife. She can call any time of the day, say, "Where are you and who you're with?" And I tell her. I don't let that bother me. She has a right to know. She spent the last 20 years with me. That's a right to know. My deacons, they're not authoritative over me, but I place myself under accountability to them. I had 800 people in church Sunday morning. I placed myself accountable to them. You know why? Because accountability is good for Tim. Because Tim, without accountability, will get in trouble. You say, you're the preacher. It don't matter who you are. So pray one for another. Confess your faults. Take accountability. It is the essentials of a life guarded by prayer, trust, and totality. And then, maybe you need sustenance. Sustenance. Look in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you tonight, just by lifting your hand, can say, God has met my need. God has met my need. You don't have to worry about Obama. You don't have to worry about the government. You don't have to worry about the Senate or the Congress. You better have your trust in the living God that said He'll not suffer the righteous to be moved, and that those who know Him in truth and those that are His are not found begging bread. He takes care of His own. If He can feed old Elisha by the brook, He can take care of you and me. If He knows every sparrow that falls to the ground, He can take care of you and me. He said, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow will take care of the things of itself. He owns the cattle, not of a thousand hill, but every hill, and the wealth in every mine. Let me tell you this story, and I'll try to finish. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China, a man of prayer. I mean, he had power with God, won hundreds and thousands of people to Jesus Christ. He broke through the language barriers. He broke through the communism, and he was able to establish orphanages all over China. And one day, Hudson Taylor had an orphanage filled with children, but no food. It was breakfast time. And he knew that there were a bunch of little kids who were going to get up with grumbling bellies and hungry mouths and anxious hearts to sit at the table and eat. And there was nothing. And Hudson Taylor tells the story in his own autobiography of a day when he got down on his knees by his chair. And he prayed and he said, oh God, these children this morning are depending on me to have some milk and to have some butter and Lord, to have cereal. And Lord, I don't have anything. And they're depending on me, but God, I don't have anyone to depend on but You. And while he was praying, knock, 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 he opened the door and there stood the local dairy driver. And he said, my truck broke down. See, they didn't have refrigerated trucks back then. And he said, the ice is melting and all this food is going to go to waste. Do you know anybody that might need it? And old Hudson Taylor had a Holy Ghost fit right there in the orphanage and know that God is the one that provides our sustenance. He supplies our every need. All right, struggles. Paul had struggles. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, dear friends, prayer is essential to the life of the believer. I've got two other points, but I've got to stop right here. The Lord's done. You'll only endure what your feet will. But I want to tell you tonight, the key to having power with God and the power of God on your life is prayer. What's your prayer life like? What's your prayer life like? I wonder if I were to ask the question today, how many of you have cell phones? Now don't raise your hand because I know what would happen. Majority of people in this room have cell phones. I wonder if I were to ask the question, how many of you have spent at least 10 minutes on the phone today? Would raise your hand. Now don't do it. 20 minutes. 30 minutes. An hour. 2 hours. How many text messages have you sent and received today? Communicating most of the time with people that don't care if you live or die when it comes right down to it. Would sell you out for a morsel of bread. Truly. I wonder if we give God as much time in prayer as we give our cell phones, our computers, our friends, our pastimes, our television. And then we wonder why the preacher can't get nobody down the aisle. And we wonder why people sit in the pews with the bless me if you can look on their face. And we wonder why the budget can't be met. And we wonder why souls aren't being saved like they used to be. And why people won't live in righteousness like they used to. Because let me tell you something. You'll not be able to get down in the position of prayer and God not deal with you about your life. I want to ask you tonight, where is your prayer life? Father, we thank you tonight for letting us preach. I believe that every great awakening and every great revival has started with men and women of prayer. Everything by prayer. God, I pray tonight that you'll touch hearts and lives, that you'll work in this place tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand all over the building tonight? I didn't come tonight to offend or to hurt the first person. But I want to know tonight, do you feel like your prayers get through? Do you feel like your prayers get above your eyeballs? Do you feel like you have power with God to have a life that's governed and guided by prayer? I'd ask you to come tonight and let your real and sincere life of prayer, filled with power, begin in this Wednesday night service. Wednesday night is prayer meeting. And I wonder tonight, who needs to get a hold of the throne room? I wonder tonight, who needs to have the power of prayer in their life? I need it. I desire it. I don't want to live without it. Who wants to have an effective prayer life tonight? Would you come as we sing?
Somewhere somebody is praying tonight for loved ones who's wandered away from the light. Faith reaches heaven and God is aware. And forever is changed in one moment of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare all that you need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer. A bed holds a body, and it's periled with pain. The doctors have tried, but hope is all in vain. Oh, but wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom, and all at once the great physician steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer. spare all that you'll ever need is waiting right there.
Power and prayer.
A few words, a child's faith, and it's goodbye despair. Oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer.
Brother Tim has preached a great message tonight. You know, he was talking about Hudson Taylor there, and I was reminded of something that was said of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was such a passionate person working on the mission field that they said of Hudson Taylor that he worked like everything depended upon him, but he prayed like everything depended upon God. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Can you imagine how that statement right there would radically change Parkway Baptist Temple? Let me say it again. He worked like everything depended upon him, but he prayed like everything depended upon God. Could you imagine if we worked in such a way and we prayed in such a way that we believed in our heart that everything in the work of the ministry depended on us, that this ministry would succeed or fail because of our faithfulness? Hudson Taylor lived his life that way. God tremendously blessed that man. And God used him to see many people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin. You know, it's awesome to see people come together and pray. I've heard all sorts of folks down here already saying, God, help me to be a person of prayer. Help me, Lord, to cultivate a spirit of prayer. And I believe that's where revival starts. I believe that with all my heart. Brother Tim, God has brought him by here tonight to speak to us on the subject of prayer. Listen, can I tell you that revival doesn't start with a man? Revival doesn't start by a series of meetings. Revival is not sparked through a song. Revival starts when God's people begin to pray. And when you and I begin trusting in the Lord and asking God to help us, God's going to send us revival. Well, if you believe in the spirit of prayer and the theology of prayer that he preached on tonight, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We have had just a great time this week, and the Lord has just richly blessed us. A few things I want you to pray about. Pray for Rick Pursley. I got to see Rick today, and they have said that he has two large masses in his stomach. And Rick was in a lot of pain today, and pray for him and for his family. We don't know the direction that the doctors are going to take yet, but pray for Rick Pursley. Also, pray for Gladys Hodge. Miss Gladys is back in the hospital. For those of you that didn't know that, Miss Gladys is back there in the hospital at Memorial. And pray for her that the Lord will watch over her and bless her. Ruby Schiff, she's been in the hospital this past week. That's Janice's grandmother. She's been in the hospital. Let me tell you something about her. How old is she? She 82? What? Huh? 87 years old. And I went and talked to her the other day, and I said, boy, we just missed you on Sunday. And she looked at me and she said, you know what? I sure do light that place up, don't I? And I said, yes, you do. And so we are thankful for her, but she's in the hospital, and I know she would like to be back here. Others in the hospital, Jerry Putnam is having that surgery tomorrow. We need to be praying for him, that the Lord will just watch over him. And then, of course, little Troy Lee. Boy, he just broke my heart today. I was up there with him in the hospital, and I just see his crippled little body up there in the hospital room, and boy, just my heart went out to him today. And as soon as I walked in the room, I said, hey, boy. He said, where's David? I said, come here, David. He knew my voice right away. We went over there and had prayer with him and Debbie and Troy. And I want you to pray for them. Now, they're going through a difficult time. And I just want you to pray that God will watch over him. You know, we did the cardboard testimonies a few weeks ago. And those of you that were here, you remember that Debbie got up and she flipped up that sign that said, God's Disciple. And can I tell you something about that little guy that sits in that wheelchair? He's God's disciple. He is God's disciple. And he has blessed my heart. I know that he has blessed your heart many, many times over. So please, take his name to the throne of grace and ask God just to watch out over him. If it was your child, you would want somebody to be praying for your child. And I want you to pray for Troy and Debbie tonight, that God will just reach down
put His arms of love around all of these families and hold them close to His throne. And I believe God will bless us in a special way. Did you enjoy Brother Tim tonight? If you did, let him know it by putting your hands together. Amen. He's going to be back there in the back. Tim, I'm going to ask you to go back there. And Angie, where's Angie at? Angie's back here somewhere, ain't she? Angie's here. And she fell asleep. There she is. No, I'm kidding. She's back there. And Kayla and Tim and Aaron, you guys here, why don't you guys go back there with your daddy? I want you to go back there and meet my family back there and shake their hand and welcome them here at Parkway. And we're going to be dismissed. God's given us a wonderful Bible conference. We thank the Lord for it. Great audience tonight. You guys have been awesome. So let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. But most of all, we thank You, Lord, for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the past several days as the Spirit of God has come by, for those that were saved on Sunday and those we baptized on Sunday, and even this Sunday, as we baptize again, Father, we thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy by adding to the church. And Father, we pray that You would put the Spirit of revival in our heart, that You would help us, God, to work like everything depends upon us. And pray like everything depends upon God. And Father, we will thank You for who You are, for what You've done, and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.